So Riscatelli decides to kick the ball long. Ablett's going to be the target. Made it a real contest. Clint Jones says that Ablett wins the ball. Runs inside 50 from 45 metres out. He has kicked a goal. He's kicked four.
If you were lucky enough to watch that game yesterday, the first quarter, I think they, what was it, 8 goals 4 to St Kilda, 3 goals 2. It was mesmerising to watch the Gold Coast Suns. They're fifth on the ladder at the moment with a record of 6-2. Guy McKenna's the coach and he joins us on Melbourne's Home of Footy. G'day, Guy.
G'day, gentlemen.
Geez, it was good to watch that first quarter, Guy. What was it like being in the coach's box?
I must say, I cast my mind back to our first game against Essendon. I don't think it was our first game at Etihad. It might have been our second when they kicked 15 goals. And we didn't obviously get to those heady heights of starting with 15 goals. But yeah, it's just, as I said, we've had some bad records along our journey. We're just starting to write some good ones down, which is nice.
Hey, Bluey, just from an aesthetic point of view, and I know this is a hard one for a coach to answer, there might be midfields that bat perhaps deeper in terms of quantity. But in terms of pure silk and skill, yours has got to be close to the best, doesn't it?
Oh, well, given the way, you know, the we don't call them concessions, rules around how our list was built with Scotty, we were able to obviously target some 17-year-olds, which probably, Trent McKenzie spent some time on the wing, but probably found a home down half back at this stage. But, then obviously our draft, you throw Jago O'Meara that we got in the second year of a draft, of course, is the 17-year-old. So we've been able to spread out that talent. But, obviously having, you know, 8 of the first 15 picks has allowed us to do that. You throw Gary in there and a fit Michael Riscatelli, Jared Harbrell, as well as some of our uncontracted players. So, yeah, we bat deep and, we're fairly bullish about that area and we're just starting to see the bookends start to grow in Rory Thompson, Stephen May, and obviously up the other end, Charlie Dixon, Sam Day and Tommy Lynch.
Bluey, how far is Gary Ablett in front in the best and fairest for the Gold Coast Suns?
Just on my votes, he was close. He wasn't in front of mine. I won't say who was actually a nostril ahead of him, but I think after the weekend he might have just pushed past a couple of blokes, that's for sure.
You know what, you just reminded me of, I read a story last night about the year Bob Pratt kicked 150 goals in 1934, didn't win the best and fairest, and a committeeman said to him, "You were spectacular, Bob, but you weren't that effective." Is that what you're saying about Gazza?
Oh, no, not quite. When I say that, in my votes, I reckon he was a vote behind the bloke I had in front of him. So I think that probably will change after the weekend, I reckon, because it's him just in his competitive nature because he's seen Harley Bunnell grow. He's obviously in his second season, he was runner-up to Gary. Dion Prestia was runner-up to him last year. And Jago O'Meara's, closely following all those blokes into his second season. So what it does is it makes him want to be top dog still. So it just drives him to another level. And I'll be honest, hand on my heart, there's not a lot I say or do or coach with Gary. He just goes out and does it. And I think the great thing is he coaches the other boys. And I think the other blokes coach him into a greater and better efforts and levels, if you like.
Is it his best season so far under you, Bluey?
I would think so, yeah. And that's, again, I'm saying that because he stood out in the first 2 years, Ox, when we won 6 games in 2 years. Even last year when we won 8 games, there's more blokes standing up and performing better. But now we've won the 6 games this year and only lost 2. I mean, he's still standing out and you say the majority of players are performing better around him.
This has got to be the peak, though, doesn't it? He cannot possibly play any better than he's playing, surely.
Well, Rowan, all I'll say is I thought that maybe after, given, we won 3 games and we as I said, we got smashed by Essendon, 15 goals in the first quarter down at Etihad and, losing by 10 goals or more and he was still running around picking up 35 and 50 possessions in some games. You go, no, he just can't get any better. And what I've seen each year as the group's going around him, he's got better, better and better.
Yeah. Guy, I went to Wesley College, I reckon it must have been 4 or 5 years ago, and Liam Pickering told me to keep my eye on a guy called Zach Smith. Yep. He's just come back from a knee injury, and the game that he played yesterday was pretty impressive. What did you think?
Oh, yeah, it was super. But, he's, I want to say, I don't take it lightly, of course, because it's massive. I never did one. I played in alongside two blokes that did in John Warsold and Glenn Chakovich, and the physical scars there for 12 months, and, the emotional scars probably for 2 years, but... Yeah, what he's been able to do, but he got voted our best, most professional player in the 18s in the VFL year as well, and he's, I think the happiest bloke bar Zach coming back to play this week was Josh Fraser, because he's had to go out because Matty Primus is actually our ruck coach or midfield coach, if you like. So he's a very good delegator, Matty. So he's given it to Josh Fraser, our NEPL coach, to go out and do the sort of combative training with Zach for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And so Josh just comes in shaking his head, bruised from hip to armpit. Said, I think he's ready. I said, well, mate, we got him a long term. He's not coming back any earlier, so just keep training with him. But, yeah, he certainly hit the ground running, and he's only going to get better for that run.
Now, just a bit of nitpicking. If you were still focusing on one area above other, would it be consistency across the four quarters? Because even yesterday there was a bit of a drop-off, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, Rowan. Yeah, whether that was a bit of biasis, if you like, I mean, other sides. But look, some of the other sides got away to 5 goals. I think Blighty, he certainly added, what I say, a bit of calm and reason to the box. And he quickly said after the game, he said, you go through the other sides that had jumped other sides. It was Adelaide against, or Collingwood against Adelaide, or Adelaide against Collingwood. Some of those sides jumped sort of 4 or 5 goals. Fremantle certainly jumped Geelong. And, you know, they opened up a big lead. And then obviously the other side, it's got nothing to lose. They fight their way back. And it's certainly pleasing against St Kilda and North to hang on. And look, we understand that, you know, we're still a young group from age and inexperience-wise, and it's a really good learning curve for the fellas to go through. But, yeah, that's, you know, you just don't get a drop-off, you know, when you're a legitimate top four sides. Everyone's talking about us, you know, we're fifth and, you know, top four is a chance and all that sort of stuff. And clearly, you know, based on the weekend, let's be honest, I mean, there is a significant drop-off from our best to say our worst, but we certainly lower our colours, and we know that the really good sides just don't do that, and that's what we've got to learn. And you know, there's no manual to say, oh, you got to wait another 2 years, mind you, because Bloody be in one of my ears saying, no, there's no rules or laws on that. We could fix that within two weeks, if you like. And that's really just our mental preparation now, and our disciplines to stay, you know, playing football the way we know for longer, really.
And last time I saw Blighty in the coach's box at Etihad, he was facing the other way. Is he turning around towards the play these days?
Yes, no, he's on his best behaviour, Blighty. Oh, but he's been really good. I mean, obviously, he's been in and out of the box for the last two seasons. And, he's calming sort of demeanour, and he does crack the occasional joke when there needs to be a bit of levity. He's got a really good handle. I mean, he sat through many a coach's box, and coached many a game, and obviously clearly coached premiership sides as well. So, he's certainly adding a lot of experience to the box, that's for sure.
Bluey, what about Carmichael Hunt? Where does he sit?
Well, like I've sort of said publicly, mate, and the really good thing for him, we had a chat during the week, and he went back, he had his scans and everything on with his concussion. He's had a whole host of other staph infections and all sorts of bits and pieces. And look, he was Josh Fraser sent me a text after the second game, and he was in the best 4 or 5, so that's a really good step. I haven't found out how much game time, and that's where Carmichael knows he's at right now. And, you know, we went through the spot he'll play, and it's that sort of high half forward coming into the midfield. But again, as we spoke about at the top of the show, you look at the midfield and you go, well, where's Carmichael fit in that? You know, and so he understands that. He understands he has to get fit. He had something different than what David Swallow and Jager O'Meary, certainly that real inside wrecking ball, if you like. And there'll come a time and place where his form's right, his fitness is right, and he'll demand a spot in the side, and he'll get picked accordingly. And, as I've said all along, I mean, his contract is out at the end of the season. He's pushing for a spot on the list like all the other boys that are out of contract. And I'm sure at the end of the season, given the talk in NRL terms and rugby league and soccer and Cirque du Soleil and everything else that Carmichael probably could and should put his hand to, we just like to think there's going to be a card of the Gold Coast Suns on that table, and then he'll be able to make a very informed decision at the end of the season.
Last one, Guy, and we're just mindful on time a little bit, but from a coach's perspective, if Dan Henneberry did what he did to one of your players, would you expect him to do some time?
Oh, look, it looks so easy in slow motion. And when you watch it live, and I'm a bit with John Longmire. I just don't know what you'd go, if we had training, or we got training tomorrow, boys, right? In this circumstance, at that speed of the game, with the ball bouncing the way it bounces, I don't know what else you could coach your player to do. I think both of the boys were actually going to the ball, and one boy turned one way and the other one turned the other way, and accidents happen. I think that's what, unfortunately, we've all grown up and played and understand. So, I'm sure I can say what I personally think, but I think I would think he's going to be okay.